Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Bahamas, welcome back to Guardian Radio 9.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 23rd of November, 2021, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. And we're going to start the show off with a special good morning to Toby Smith. Oh, Toby, you came and you told us they was joking, but we had to hear it for ourselves. Fortunately, Barry Manilow and Toby prepared us for this moment. Good morning, Bahamas. Welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning. Look here, the news. The news this morning is filled with things to talk about. So, if you want to join this conversation, you can text us on the Guardian Radio line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. And standard text rates apply. If you're home minding children or waiting for the wakeman to come to the house, remember, you can watch us on, or listen or watch us on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or on Flow Channel 612. Or you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. I also want to say good morning to my sister and my brother-in-law who visited us for a few days, or early pre-Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving, and they on their way back out home. That's me knocking on wood, because if they spend the day, I may have to spend one more dollar. And while I love them, me and my wallet don't feel the same way. Anyway, it was such a pleasure seeing y'all. Thank you for visiting us. Get home safely. Now, if I was you, I'd fly Bahamas Air, right? Because you may be late. You may be hungry. You're going to get there. You're going to get there, and you're going to get there alive. Anyway, I want to say shout out to Warren McCartney. I listened to the show yesterday. I heard all these stories about the national flag carrier. And first thing I want to say is this, is that when you have an archipelagic exterior, right? That means when you're is made up of a whole bunch of smaller islands and the center of decision-making, right? The center of decision-making is in the center of all those islands, the archipelagic exterior. See, when you have one of them, and you have what I like to call rampant and unchecked capitalism, you need to maintain a mechanism that all of your residents have access to air travel, to efficient and effective travel, so that your people who live all the way down south in Mayaguana don't have to be on the mail boat for 3 days, 4 days, if they could avoid it. Or you get on the mail boat preparing to go to one place down south and before you could even go down south, right? Yeah. That's why you have a national airline. But I was listening to one in the callers yesterday. I wanted quick stories to say why I think we should keep Bahamas Air. I was in Andrus almost 20 years ago waiting on a flight to Nassau. It wasn't a Bahamas Air flight. And the staff of the other airline, the plane should be here in 2 minutes. You're only flying from Nassau to Andrus, you know. Anyway, after an hour, people were very, not upset, you know, concerned that something happened to this flight. The staff told us, oh, Nassau, people say we should see the plane shortly. It just had to, you know, do a couple things and we could see it shortly. Well, over 3 hours later, the flight arrived. I don't know what happened, but I'm sure it was. And I'm sure the FBI won't watch that movie, but not me. And then one time I was stuck in Miami, MIA airport. And I had collapsed. And the rebooking room was filled with hundreds of upset passengers. And I was quickly being overtaken by a group of Haitian American nurses who had just finished a charity tour in Haiti. The seventh woman cut her eye at me. You know, I know Irem Lewis know this look. You know the way they'd say, I'd pinch you and nobody in this room could stop me? I mean, like that. I left the line, found a red phone, and tried to rebook my flight to Nassau and AA. When I was explaining to the staff on the other end of the phone that I'm not an American and I'm not resident in America, and they should find, you know, that as in a sufficient reason to prioritize getting me back to my country of origin, one of the members of staff said, you know, Bahamas Air's in this terminal. And I said, well, thank you very much, and slammed that phone down and made my way to the Bahamas Air check-in gate. And I told those people I need to get home. And despite all the chaos in the airport, I'm sure with people trying to figure out how they could get to the Bahamas for their vacation so they don't miss one day, Bahamas Air made sure I made it home that night. Now, you see, the stories I told just now, they're like charity in the face of need for structural reform. Because while I laugh and giggle when I say, oh, you could be late, but you can get there, the truth is, no Bahamian should ever say that about their national airlines. We don't need systems that help those that fall through the cracks survive. We need systems that have no cracks. Or when cracks occur, they are identified and fixed immediately. That takes me to another little quick segue about charity versus structural reform. See, because over the last week, I've seen countless wonderful stories, but countless stories of people who are engaged in creating, organizing charitable activities and efforts over the Thanksgiving and Christmas season. In fact, lots of companies and groups are hosting charitable initiatives to give children and the impoverished as poor people decent, if not happy, Christmases. But if we took that same effort, those resources, to address unfair and oppressive state and social policies, we can ensure that people have happy and prosperous lives, not just a merry Christmas. And we could do it. We have everything we need right in front of us. Now, on that note about systems with no cracks, I'd like to say to the people at Ministry of Works responsible for potholes and not the subcontractors that you're going to give the job to patch with a cold patch. Before we get to that point, the pothole in front of Grosvenor's Court, the second part of the hospital facility on Shirley Street, opposite 700 Wines, opposite Tribune, the potholes have opened back up. They're preparing to swallow cars again. There's also another pothole that's opened up at the intersection of Church and Bay. And you all know, because of the consistent tree coverage that blocks out sunlight, that Church Street requires constant assessment and maintenance. It's such a busy road. Well, good yawning this morning. I see I got a caller on the line. Caller, if you've guessed it by now, what I want to talk about is the story in today's Tribune. On the main fold, it's Cruise Line. PI deal could run 150 years. On their business section, it's entitled Cruise Giants 150-Year PI Crown Land Option. Gave me a piece of land on PI for $140,000 a year. I'd run with it, too. Anyway, good morning, caller. Let me see if I could get to you. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. I am good, thank you. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, do it. No. Not just that, do it. What about the people that are not as articulate as you, that don't understand, like when they listen into a conversation, they can't pick out the key words they need to figure out what to ask you next. They don't understand what you're saying between the lines. What about those people? DeWitt, guess what? We have a problem. Only I could hear you. Sorry about that. To my callers, I'm sorry y'all couldn't hear that other caller. There was a slight problem. That was DeWitt. And DeWitt was calling to say that he had called NIB this morning during the show prior to mine, and he spent a large portion of that show waiting for somebody to pick up the phone at NIB. Now, I imagine that we are having a big problem with not just systems, but we have a cultural problem where people are unable to identify systems, the systems that they work in, right? And how those systems are supposed to function. Because guess what, DeWitt? It ain't just you, and it ain't just NIB. Now, and to the point where I don't even think it's the people in the offices. I think that we have a massive infrastructural issue with our phone systems. Every office I call. In fact, I spent 2 years calling people to the point where the secretary to the cabinet to the secretary, she know my voice, not just because I sound like my mother who was a 40-plus-year civil servant, but because I call there every day to say, hey, when you have an opportunity, please inform the people in this ministry, in this office, responsible for communications, that their telephone system is not working. Then when you called a national communications company trying to get through to people and realize that over 50% of the voicemail systems in their buildings have not been initialized, right? And so the crack in the gap is so wide that we can't even identify properly where the dysfunction sits. So to my audience, I'm sorry we didn't get that you didn't get to hear DeWitt and to DeWitt. I'm sorry the audience didn't get to hear you, but I hope I properly explained what he was talking about. We can talk about that in a little bit, right when we get back from this break. You have a great day, Bahamas.
At Fidelity, the holidays are all about family, spending time with loved ones, and being thankful for the little things in life. Worrying about bills should be the last thing on your mind, especially during the holidays. Let Fidelity help you get your bills under control. Fidelity can also get you started with a real savings plan that actually pays you interest. The only thing you need to think about is what you will do with the savings in your pocket this Christmas. Now that's what I'm talking about. Fidelity Bank is here for you this holiday season because you are family, and family is important to us.
Food security is a challenge for many. Now in a pandemic, many more are unsure of their next meal. Through their Feed 5000 program and a $20,000 donation, AML is working to ensure that everyone has a meal for the holidays, and they're inviting you to help. Now until December 17th, visit any Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, or Domino's in Nassau or Freeport, and Exuma Markets in Georgetown to donate and help feed a family in need this Christmas. No amount is too small. Remember, we're all in this together.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. You are on the clock with Erin Green, and we were talking for a moment about dysfunctional and failing systems and the impact on the lives of people, particularly those that rely on these systems to survive. And so I want to say to all IT teams in all businesses, corporations, large businesses and corporations, check your phone system. Make sure that they're working. Don't hesitate to call your service provider and tell them to come out and make sure that it's working. Also, to our cellular service providers, I don't even know what to tell y'all anymore. I don't know what type of assessments y'all be making on your systems, but I've spent the last like 3 weeks having to check my phone constantly because of the number of notifications that don't come in, the number of notifications that come in with no indicator. It just, in case you didn't know it, people are having difficulties navigating your system. And we don't know if it's because the person we're trying to call don't want to talk to us, so they just don't pick up the phone, or they lie and say your call never came through. But I have people showing me their devices to indicate that no notification popped up. But somebody should be constantly watching and monitoring these systems. People should be getting paid for that. And that's on another note we can talk about. Too many people in this country are getting paid to provide functions and services that are not being provided. And that's one of them. I got a lovely text here. It says, Miss Green, it's Andros, not Andrus. Says my hometown too. I lives there. I from there. But I appreciate you live there. I guess I can't top that. But just be lucky I ain't saying Handras. I could be from Naughty Lutheran and say Handras. I go into Handras for the weekend. That'd be fun. Anyway, I got a caller on the line. Let's try it now. Caller, you on the clock.
Hey, Erin.
Hey.
Just want to make a correction with you. I said and non-revenue, if you listen to what I said.
Okay.
But apparently you said NIB.
Okay, my bad. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't want to say no one said, I said NIB, because yeah, you know how some of our people go.
No, pause to it. Erin said NIB. Aaron said, I'm sure I recollect 17 yes, times ma'am. Trying to call NIB and not being able to get through.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
so that's
sir.
That's for right in line.
Yes, sir. Thank
you.
You
have a good one, sir.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, I apologize to my audience for missing that snafu. Another text. My light bill is over $1,200. Boy, I getting cut off. Well, you have to get cut off. If I mean, that sounds like that close or higher than your mortgage or your rent. I just want to know. PPL. Okay, so you appointed a new board. This is great. You haven't actually answered any questions that were put to the old board or the next board yet. We haven't seen the report, the investigative report from the fire. I mean, and I want to be honest with you, I don't think it's fair. It's not my fault that somebody leaked the report. Why should I be penalized and not be able to see the report in its entirety because somebody leaked it earlier? It's like y'all, I think somebody mean to leak it as a ruse so you could try and convince us that you can't release the entire report because somebody leaked it. I still want to know, I still need BPL's board, new board, old board, CEO, to answer the question as to whether they are still estimating readings. Because I do not have a smart meter, and I have not seen a BPL vehicle in my neighborhood for months upon months upon months upon months. And even when I used to see them, they wouldn't get out their vehicle to go check the meter. And I know I do not have a smart meter. Text says, if Potcake was chairman, we won't get this light bill pressure. You mean Potcake who sell the hubcaps? Because that is a resourceful gentleman. I'm sure we would not be in this situation. In fact, I've asked the team of reporters in the newsroom here to give me a briefing. I got to sit down with the journalists and get a real sense of what's happening now. Because the last time I really delved into the affairs at BPL, we were left wondering if Mr. Ramsey was going to snitch on anybody or whether he was going to take the weight himself for the Alstom scandal. And I was taken aback by the lack of response to the Alstom scandal. I got another text here that says, Potcake for Prime Minister. I hope you all understand the extent to which the public are querying your ability to lead. Anyway, let's get back to this cruise line PI deal could run for 150 years. The article starts, the Minister's administration has effectively given Royal Caribbean a minimum 150-year lease over 7 crown land acres on Paradise Island for its multi-million dollar beach club project. Effectively giving them a 150-year lease. The lease, which has been obtained by Tribune Business, gives the cruise giant an initial 25-year lease, then a 25-year extension, plus, quote, no less than 4 additional options, close quotes. All these options are 25 years in length, meaning that when they are added to the first 25-year lease, Royal Caribbean can exercise its rights to potentially occupy that land for 1.5 centuries. That's 150 years. The agreement, which was executed on May 25, 2021, also commits Royal Caribbean to paying an annual $140,000 rent to the government for use of land that it holds in trust for the benefit of the Bahamian people. That, when I read that, let me read it again. The agreement also commits Royal Caribbean to paying an annual $140,000 rent to the government. Okay, when you say commit, why did they choose the word commits them to doing it? Because, like you would say, I saw the word commit, I would suggest that a heavy, heavy price, like a draconian price that Royal Caribbean would not want to pay, but would be willing to pay, particularly considering the potential length of the lease, that we have made them commit to paying this amount over the time. But $140,000 a year for 150 years? I mean, I heard a silly rumor that the government was renting Capitol House for $120,000 a year. Cheapest y'all rented to me for $140,000 a year. Let's get back to the article. Over a 25-year lease, this amounts to $3.5 million in total rental income, with VAT at 10% contributing a further $350,000 to the public treasury. So y'all are willing. I mean, y'all gleefully submitted to this? Is you only going to make $3.5 million in rental income over 25 years? Renting pristine and prime crown land? Y'all notice the people on PI already don't want the natives to go on the beach. That's how special they think the beach is. And that's all you renting it for? Are you telling me you only gonna collect $350,000 VAT on that over 25 years? I'm gonna need a list on all the other monies you're gonna be collecting from them, all the other cash commitments and payments that they have committed to over the next 150 years. Call, I come into you right now. When I think back at yesterday's paper, listening to the Honorable Hubert Minnis talk about the crosswinds that were approaching, is this it, Minnis? Were you trying to get out of the seat of power before this deal was announced? Let me go to the call line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Oh, man, this can't be true.
Okay, hold on. Your audio is a little garbled, so do me a favor. Slow down. Say that again, but...
I said, this deal cannot be true.
No.
It cannot be. Minister, they're not buying the deal.
I'm sorry, I think... Say that again? In fact, do me a favor. Hang up, call back. Let's try and get a clearer line, because that was very garbled. You know, it was chunky. I couldn't hear you clearly. Now, I'm looking at the main article in the business section. And the article goes on to, this article goes on to say, these sums pale, right? The $3.5 million over 25 years and the $350,000 in VAT. These sums pale when set aside the extra $26 million in annual visitor spending that the Royal Beach Caribbean is projected to generate, a figure that rises to $650 million when extended over the 25-year lease term. Royal Caribbean previously said its $110 million Paradise Island investment will boost overall visitor spending by $1 billion over a 10-year period, although it is uncertain where this impact falls. Where this impact falls. So you don't know where the impact falls now? You don't know who was most positively impacted by the spending prior to this moment? We know where the impact will fall. We know who's going to get the bulk of the $26 million in annual visitor spending. We know it won't be the average Bahamian. And I can be honest, Toby, I didn't say this before. I was a little disappointed in the quality of the tree houses that you were using in your promotional material and in your communications, but I don't care anymore. I don't care. For $140,000 a year, you could have it. You could have it for free if they only could pay $140,000. This can't be real. How much of the money that you project is going to impact the lives of Bahamians? And I don't mean Bahamians in the political class. I don't mean politicians. And don't think I've forgotten the conversation. Here we are in November 2021, and you haven't taken a pay cut yet, despite the lack of performance. We haven't forgotten. So I got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock. Caller, call back. The Minnesota administration agreed the potential 150-year lease with the cruise giant, even though three of the seven Crown Land acres involved are tied up in a Supreme Court battle between the government and Bahamian entrepreneur Toby Smith, who is arguing that they form part of a valid binding lease he had obtained prior to Royal Caribbean's deal. And then you all had the audacity to make the deal while you still have a matter pending to determine who should have access to the land or who has already been granted access? Boy, they some heavy crosswinds. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hello, Aaron.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Let me ask you something. Last week, what basically the conversation was about.
The conversation was about, the vast majority of conversations over the airwaves was about violence, intimate partner violence, interpersonal conflict, and domestic violence.
Okay, that's good memory.
Yeah.
Let me say something. Yeah. I don't know, probably if you all get the message, because I saw something yesterday on my phone.
Uh-huh.
Where this lady stabbed this guy like a rag doll. And I hear nobody, no radio talk show talk about that this morning.
Well, listen.
It even ain't been on the news.
Well, I saw images of it. I'm not sure. You're right. I'm not sure if I saw it on the news. But I'm also not sure if reporters would have been able to gather sufficient information. But let's talk about it.
But you don't think they could have gone out and checked? Because I'm quite sure it was a government living area that these people live at.
Right.
But you ain't come on talking about it this morning. You're talking about something a bit menacing then. Dwight was on this morning. Never even mentioned the Guardian, which I pay attention to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. But this woman stabbed this gentleman like a rag doll.
Not just stabbed him like that. The people who witness it.
Okay.
And stood around. I mean, people within 3 feet of the assailant.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, wait, she could have turned and stabbed somebody else next. Pause. My bad.
I'm disappointed.
Pause.
Because if that was a woman who...
Pause.
That would have been out of hand this morning.
Caller, pause.
Uh-huh.
Here's another reason. See... One of the reasons why I didn't start off with it, I can tell you exactly what happened. This story with the cruise line, it's a big story, but...
That's not important than somebody getting stabbed to death.
Hold on.
It can't be.
Hold on. Another reason why I put that story on the back burner, and I want to apologize to my audience and to you, is that I wasn't sure that the boy got stabbed yet. Hold on, wait, pause. I can tell you why. I saw two things. I saw a picture where somebody purported that the woman had a weapon, and then I saw the video. But when I saw the video, I didn't see any blood in the video.
You saw the fella?
No. I saw the fella, and I saw his actions. And
you
it,
didn't saw,
hold on.
You saw him when he started to get stabbed in his back.
Listen, hold
then,
on.
Then
oh, no, no. Hold on, pause. I saw the first blow, and from the first blow, it appeared to me that something more severe than a punch had occurred. But
no, it was stabbing because I saw it.
Pause.
It was evident that knife was there.
Caller, pause for a second, though. You're missing my point. My point is this, is that we may have jeopardized the case, me and you, right now, by coming on the radio and saying something that we heard in the video but can't necessarily determine is true. Pause. See, in the same point that you're making, that life and the potential loss of life is more important than this deal in the courts and whatever. I agree with you. And if that life is so important, then we also have to measure our speech and make sure we don't say or do anything to warrant the case being thrown out, the suspected perpetrator being let off. And that's why I was telling you to pause. And I was showing you that I was all gung-ho to talk about that. But I said, let me pause on it until I see how the media is treating the story. And when I see how the media is treating the story, then I know how to act next. But I hold the space because I appreciate when men call and say, hey, can you not see the violence that is taking place? And when they also say, hey, it looked like y'all being a little biased and don't think that violence against men is as an important topic as violence against women. The next reason why I didn't really pick it up immediately on the show is my plan is to have a guest in this week to talk about that matter and some of the issues that occurred last week coming into this week. And so I wanted to have a more informed discussion before we get into it. I got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock. Sorry about that, caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hello.
Good morning. You still there? Boy, I don't know why you hung up, but it sounds like whoever you call owe you money, so I'm glad you hung up, sir. Another text says, pot cake for Prime Minister. I got a text here that says, from the end of last week, my internet and cable TV is down. On Saturday, I could not get through on their automated system, as their automated system does not always take when you hit digits. On Sunday, after 3 hours, I eventually got through at 5:30 p.m. They said half hour it will be fixed. Today, Tuesday, it is still not fixed, and I have paid my bill to end of December, sad. Boy, one day I can tell you all the story about how I spent a year and a half trying to get a matter resolved with a service provider and IRCA. And at the end of the year and a half, a year and 4.5 months. After the end of a year and 4.5 months, when we sit down in the meeting, the representative from the service provider sat down and smiled and said, so what are we here to talk about today? It's a year and 4.5 months. And the texter said they paid their bill till the end of December. Oh, my. Ah, boy. This texter says, Miss Green, how are you? Tell Munka go to Wendy's. McDonald's don't want his money. Another text is saying, hey, I'm in my 40s. Where can I go to get a small grant loan for a course, for an educational course for 1 month in the U.S.? That is really interesting. Look at that. Man, we must have to go call one of these philanthropist billionaires in our country and ask them if they want to set up a small grant loan program for adults in continuing education. That's a good idea, Texter. Thank you. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. Good. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. It's much better.
Yes, that cruise ship thing is egregious.
Yeah.
To me, very egregious. That long a term. Imagine that people are doing 99 years, and there's a bad deal there, and we have 41 years to go.
Yeah.
The minister there, the prime minister, this is not a Obama deal. It's wicked and it's bad. It's an ultra-virus to ask of people. That's what they voted on in Parliament, right? This is our land. I would think that Parliament should have voted on that to give this length of time to a foreign 50 people. But as Minister said, I see why Minister had to go. I see why the guards had to send him home packing, because one way you're Minister, I think we don't have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
He was an F of a job. And he said, I'm the head bridge. When you voted, right? Did he tell us what was the head bridge going to be?
Say that again?
When he said the head bridge was coming,
yeah.
And why he went to the election.
Yeah.
Did he tell us what the head bridge was?
No. He didn't even tell him batten down the hatches.
The storm coming, or are we going to war, or are we going to peace? And he wanted to give him a blank check. Another 5 years for him to do, he started back and let the idea tie. I mean, we need a strong prime minister and watch our backs.
But listen, nobody in the cabinet could tie his hands because he is equal among not equals. I mean, wait, what did they say? They say equal
among
not
equals.
Among equals. Yeah. Oh, first among
any
equals.
Minister, for any minister to rank a mother was in the public, right? Tell them change the ministers every year, we feel like undefeated, right?
Yeah.
Because he has the power, he's the prime minister.
He's the competent authority. He's the competent authority.
Minister, yes. Prime minister. Man, I see what LBD and the Michigan Chamber of the Man. This man is literally, Trump will say, stop it. You know, he gets corrupt.
Look here. I get
it. Are we stopping him going back in his day? Tell him that the four rumors, the head rumors coming. But he got a head wins.
Boy, look here. I gotta go.
Man, stupid man. A very stupid doctor, man. I mean, yes.
No, man, don't be so rough. Don't be so rough. I don't. We reserve that word stupid for only extreme cases, right? But I do have to ask this question. How is it that these guys could get their lease in such a short amount of time? It looked like almost 3 years. But I have a friend who's been waiting over 20 years to get their land in Mayaguana approved. Over 20 years. And on that note, I want to ask, does anybody know where the pages from the land registry for Mayaguana and Grand Bahama are they in the same place that the Oban files are held? Are they in the same place where they keep the plans for Frank Watson Boulevard? Where are they? Where are the pages for the Mayaguana and the Grand Bahama land registry? Why is it the Bahamians have such a difficult time gaining access to land that should, as just a formality, be theirs, right? But these guys could come in 2 minutes and secure land that had already been promised to somebody else. If you want to know why the trust deficit between the people and the government continues to grow, it's matters like these. It's matters like these. Kermit, let's go to a break. Oh, my bad. When my producer gets back, we're going to go to a break. In the moment, I got some other things to talk about. First of all, next week, the 27th of November to the 4th of December, is Bahamas Disability Awareness Week. Oh, that's my bad. You was waking. Look here, I got the hardest waking producer in the world. He got 3 jobs, and he was one of them just now. That's my bad. I'm going to give you all the dates for the activities for the Bahamas Disability Awareness Week right now. On Saturday, 27th of November, there's an awareness walk and motorcade with South Stew or Soup Day at Stapleton School. On the Sunday, the 28th of November, there's a church service at Living Waters Kingdom Ministries. On Tuesday, the 30th, there's a public forum, a virtual public forum with the National Commission for Persons with Disabilities. On Wednesday, the 1st of December, there's a virtual games night. I really want to see how this is going to work. I think that's going to be fabulous, a virtual games night. That means you get hundreds and hundreds of people to connect playing virtual games online. That's awesome. And then on Friday, the 3rd of December, there's a dinner show and Disability Icon Awards ceremony at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas at 7:30 p.m. And then on Saturday, the 4th of December, closing out the week, is a family day exhibition and concert rally at the Western Esplanade. And that is the Bahamas Disability Awareness Week. And I want to say thank you to the young Governor General Youth Award participants who I saw handing out flyers over the weekend. Thank you for your contribution and participation. Producer, it's time for a break. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Caller, we will be right back. You hold on. We'll be back on the call.
At Fidelity, the holidays are all about family, spending time with loved ones, and being thankful for the little things in life. Worrying about bills should be the last thing on your mind, especially during the holidays. Let Fidelity help you get your bills under control. Fidelity can also get you started with a real savings plan that actually pays you interest. The only thing you need to think about is what you will do with the savings in your pocket this Christmas. Now that's what I'm talking about. Fidelity Bank is here for you this holiday season because you are family and family is important to us.
Food security is a challenge for many. Now in a pandemic, many more are unsure of their next meal. Through their Feed 5000 program and a $20,000 donation, AML is working to ensure that everyone has a meal for the holidays, and they're inviting you to help. Now until December 17th, visit any Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, or Domino's in Nassau or Freeport, and Exuma Markets in Georgetown to donate and help feed a family in need this Christmas. No amount is too small. Remember, we're all in this together.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. Our text line is 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. And you can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Sparky. How you doing?
You know, thank you for a moment here. You know, it's so frustrating in our country where every 5 years we got people knocking on the door saying they want to represent us down in the House of Assembly. And when they get down there, they change their mind and say they're going to represent the Queen instead of us. And then we find out no matter who we put in there, whether it's PLP, FNM, BDP, or UVP, they're representing foreigners. And foreigners could get anything you don't want, say they need within weeks. I know me personally been trying to get farmland to farm, to feed myself, my neighbors, my friends, and my family, and to make some money. I just got 2 acres of land, 3 acres of land the other day. Thank God, now I got to start waking up at 70. But what so other than the meaning is, we got a place down off the road called the feed mill. The farmers right now are going through hell because they can't find food for the animals. Mm-hmm. To feed the chickens and the pigs and the cows and whatever it is. Because the feed mill machine breaks down, not always breaking down for months. The feed shipments that they make the stuff from in the country. And then they wouldn't give land to people, to farms, to grow the things. So instead of importing things to feed animals, we could grow the stuff. Because we're importing things for other people in the foreign land grow to feed the animals over here. And why we keep paying these people to be in these positions and they don't do their jobs?
I don't know, Sparky.
I go yesterday to feed my chickens and pigeons and things. I go to the feed mill. You call down there, you normally got a call place because to develop if they got any. Yesterday morning, I was calling from 7:30 after 2, I decided to drive down there. Ms. Green, they're fully awakened. So now you can't call them to find out the thing ain't there. So now I drive down there, all the way in Gladstone Road, Sparky, they ain't got no feed. The machine down, the shipment ain't come to make the food, and all the farmers down there lining up trying to find out how they can feed the animals in the country. We want the farm. We want the land. And every prime minister keep holding on the land, and we keep importing the food, and everybody who goes to say that the Ministry of Agriculture say they're going to try and improve the farming
I'll be the farmer. You wouldn't give us no land to farm on.
Thank you, Sparky. I can cut it there. You worried about the land to farm on. How you going to farm if you can't afford to run water on your farm? But how are you going to farm in a country that doesn't, whose policies makers don't see the value of local agriculture? They just literally cannot see it. And it's a whole nother conversation about that. It's a whole nother conversation about it. How do politicians assign value, right? Why is it that they're so quick to give and lend to the foreigner but not to the local person, right? Why are they so quick to sign off on foreign development but not so quick to invest in local development? It's a big conversation we need to have as well. I got another text here that says, good morning, Aaron. If it was a male stabbing a female, the outcry by the talk show would have been different. I don't think you're reading that correctly. Like I said, also, I'd planned on having a guest on this week. And we want to be sensitive with these situations. I was appalled by what I saw for many reasons. But I also want to talk about many aspects of this thing. We got a housing crisis in this country. People are too densely packed together. People from the Family Islands are having a difficult time living in these very dense, poorly organized spaces. All of us are poorly socialized, and thus being jammed up together is problematic. It's all so many things we want to talk about. And I can be honest with you, though. This lease right here, I can read from the article, the lease which is signed by former Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis in his capacity as the then minister responsible for Crown land requires the rent to be paid annually on June 1st every year. Royal Caribbean is also to maintain public liability insurance of not less than $1 million and keep comprehensive insurance coverage for the beach club property. I got a text here who's asking a question. Said, Aaron, I'm not hearing you correctly. Is that lease signed and sealed, or is this a proposal, or is the deal invalid because of the arrangement with Toby Smith? Well, what I read just now doesn't suggest to me that this is just a proposal. It suggests that it's signed and sealed away. Sealed. Signed and sealed. I added the away. And I don't think the deal will become invalid because of the arrangement with Toby Smith, unless the court rules as such. I don't understand, but anyway, this is very, very concerning. Do you know what 150 years is? You know these Biden refused to answer questions that were asked 2 months ago? You think any government in 100 years can be prepared to answer any question about this? Do you not see how governments operate? Anyway, caller, you're on the clock.
Alan Johnson.
Good morning, sir.
You know, Eric, the problem is that we spend so much time as individuals are looking for buckets, our buckets to be filled, that we don't ever try to fix the roof so that we get all, I use that analogy wrong. We look for our buckets to be filled and we don't ever try to have the well dug so that we all can drink.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that even with that lease that is signed, one thing the power of government have, and this is where the garbage comes from. First of all, we need to keep the PLP on their promise. They made the same promise the FNM made, transparency, accountability, integrity, anti-corruption, and freedom of information.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we can see what exists now and everything going back, not pieces, not leaks or anything, but its fullness. But when you go back to the whole concept of fixing that lease, one thing the power of government having, and we hear this thing about the garbage, about BTC, we couldn't take BTC back and all these other different things. There's no one government can buy in another government. But what happens is the government has what is called a power of taxation. So when they begin to talk about resources and land lease and whatever else, the government can tax ownership back from these type of things. The same thing with downtown and everything else. The problem is that because we have not been taught governance and socialization and civics and everything else, we allow them to give us talking points. And then we just talk about these talking points over and over and over, and the next thing you know, a decade has passed. But what we have to demand is very simple, you know. surrender all assets. You know the sovereign wealth fund that the Progressive Liberal Party promised?
Mm-hmm.
A sovereign wealth fund that surrenders all assets, known and unknown, seen and unseen, tangible and intangible, to a sovereign wealth fund that separates the political decision-making. And when we get a sovereign asset management company to do that, we can now have decisions that's made for the present as well into the future that's based on sound economic decisions that benefits the people who owns it as opposed to the other people.
Absolutely.
Who claim.
See, Alan, as we close out the show, I got a quick question to ask you. How much money you need to draw up the plan so that we could talk about that at the national level?
We don't need, the money. What I need is the awareness, and for people like you and Talk Show House to stop adopting the talking points that the political class gives you, and let's have a conversation on reality.
Oh, boy. Boy, I almost going to fight you just now when you said that, T. Allen, but then I remember you wasn't talking to me. Thank you very much for that very helpful contribution. I'm all out of time, so let me try this. Text says, yeah, we're not reading that one. And another one says, that is prime land, Minis. Shame on you. We must find a way to prosecute politicians for these egregious deals they lick us into. Sorry, they lock us into. The Arawakport deal was similar. The way our ministry to Toby was one of the many reasons I dissed that party. Well, listen, get ready to diss party politics as a whole, because ain't nothing special about the FNM. Nothing that the PLP is immune to anyway. It's the political culture. Gotta get a hold on it, people. Anyway, that's my music. I'm all out of time. Thank you for that texter who brought in that important note about the act of violence against the man. And my apologies to the audience for that little moment of silence there. It'll never happen again. And thank you to the best producer in the world, Kermit. Boy, I had you sweating. Sorry about that. Have a great day, Bahamas. Stay tuned. Levon Miller and Unleash is up next.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.